Bible reading is from the New Testament book of John. From chapter 4, we will read verses 5 through 42. And the New King James Version Pew Bible, we're on page 1514. Before we read, let us pray. Speak, Lord, for your servants listen. Amen. John 4, 5. So Jesus came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For Jesus' disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to Jesus, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to Jesus, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to the woman, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to Jesus, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' for you've had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." The woman said to Jesus, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." The woman said to Jesus, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he'll tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." And at this point, his disciples came and marveled that he talked with a woman, yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman then left her water pot, went into the city, and said to the men, "Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came to Jesus. In the meantime, his disciples urged Jesus, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But Jesus said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." Therefore the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought Jesus anything to eat?" But Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there's still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white with harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I've sent you for all that which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors." And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in Jesus because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans had come to Jesus, they urged Jesus to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of Jesus' own word. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard Jesus, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. Sometimes we have something in our lives for which we're not proud, maybe even ashamed. It's held us back. In the early 1900s in Rowan County, Kentucky, something which held many men and women and brought shame was not being able to read and write. It was almost one-third of the county. Woven into a book entitled The Moonlight School by Suzanne Woods Fisher was the story of a remarkable lady.
Coral Wilson Stewart declared September the 5th, 1911, as the brightest moonlit night the world has ever seen. Over 1,200 illiterate and semi-literate adults trooped through hills and hollows to the rural schoolhouses. In an interview with journalist Ida Clyde Clark, Stewart described the scene. There were overgrown boys who had dropped out of school and never re-entered. There were isolated girls who had been deprived of an education. There were women who had married in childhood, and with them came their husbands who had been humiliated by having to make their mark a shaky X or ask election officials to cast their votes for them. There were middle-aged men who had golden opportunities passed them by because of their handicap of illiteracy. These were men whose mineral and timber and other material resources were in control of educated men who had made beggars of them. Ranging in age from 18 to 85, they sat on small benches in their little schoolhouse. They confronted the marks on the tablets in front of them and examined the chalked images on the blackboards. They sang songs, and they visited with neighbors, and they took home that first night a vision to read and write. This was the schedule of the schools. Monday through Thursday, evenings they came from 7 to 9 o'clock for 6 weeks. Sessions began promptly at 7. They'd have a 15-minute devotional that generally included singing. Then for 25 minutes, they'd have reading lessons. Then for 25, they would have writing lessons, and another 25 would be for arithmetic. Teachers then led 2 15-minute drills in basic subjects like history and civics, health and sanitation, geography, home economics, and agriculture. They left promptly at 9 o'clock to go home. In 2 6-week sessions, moon-like pupils gained the ability to sign a document, to do basic math, to write a simple correspondence, and read a few verses of the Bible. Functional literacy was a fifth grade reading level. Riding horseback or in a small buggy, Cora Stewart visited as many of the moonlight schools as possible. 2 years later, Stewart calculated that only 23 illiterates remained in the county out of 1,200, and 6 of those were blind. Stewart's faith in humankind was almost as strong as her faith in God. She saw great potential for change in the movement to which she devoted her life. And what about the teachers? They were her strongest supporters. After teaching children all day, the teachers, without additional pay, taught adults at night and taught them in a different way. Coral Wilson Stewart had a dream to eliminate illiteracy in one generation. Jesus had a dream. All will worship God in spirit and truth. He's looking for people to join him in this mission. Jesus and his disciples, they left Judea and they're traveling north to Galilee. They needed to go through Samaria. He came to Sychar. Jacob's well was in Sychar. Jacob, whose name God had changed to Israel, which means prince with God, he was the father of the 12 sons who became the 12 tribes of Israel. Under King David and King Solomon, these tribes became a great nation. But after Solomon, the kingdom split in two. There were 10 tribes to the north and 2 to the south. After a time, both kingdoms were conquered by Gentile rulers. When the north was captured by the Assyrians, some were deported and then some intermarried with their captors. These people became the Samaritans. The southern portion was called Judea. This was where we have such cities as Bethlehem, where Jesus was born, and Jerusalem, where the temple was at, where they worshiped. And the northern part, also known as Israel or Galilee, had the Sea of Galilee and such cities as Nazareth. This is where Jesus grew up, and Capernaum, where he launched his ministry. In between was Samaria. This territory and these cities were avoided by most Jews as much as possible. The Samaritans were separated by the Jews in two ways. First of all, race. Though they were a descendant of Jacob, other Jews did not consider them to be pure because they had intermarried with Gentiles. And then second was worship. The Samaritans believed that the true place of worship was Mount Gerizim, where the Israelites had worshiped when Joshua had led them into the Promised Land. Jesus was wearied from his journey. He sat down by the well. It was the sixth hour. This was noon. Jesus' disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. With a human body, Jesus becomes tired and thirsty. We wonder, why did all 12 men go to buy food? Maybe Jesus sent them. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." Then the woman said to Jesus, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask of me a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" Was it Jesus' looks, or was it his clothes, his accent? What gave it away that he was a Jew? Jews didn't generally deal with Samaritans, nor did men talk with unknown women alone publicly. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Well, the woman pushes back on this. "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob?" Jesus answers her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." This woman who comes at noon, rather than coming in the morning with the other women, she has a thirst for living water and water that never dries up. The woman said to Jesus, "Sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." And Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman said, "I have no husband." Jesus said, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' for you've had 5 husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." Everyone has a story. We don't know this woman's. Did her husbands die? Did they divorce her? Did she lose hope in marriage? Or did her current fellow not propose marriage? Whether it was because she was surprised that Jesus knew her story or simply to change the subject, she talked religion. The woman said to Jesus, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is a place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither worship on this mountain nor in Jerusalem to worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. The hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. The Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." Jesus' message is for us all. It's not the place where we worship that is critical. It's that we worship the true living God who is a spirit. We worship with our spirit, with truth. Jesus also told the woman that salvation is of the Jews. The woman said, "I know that Messiah, the Christ, is coming, and when he comes, he will tell us all things." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Jesus had avoided telling others who he was and told his disciples not to tell. Yet Jesus spoke clearly to this woman, "I am the Messiah." The disciples return. Now they're surprised, yet no one asks Jesus, "Why are you talking with her?" With a moonlight school, one young man's joy upon learning to write his name was so complete that he etched it several times in trees on his way home. And the following day, he carved it on numerous fence posts. He continued carving his name throughout the county until the sheriff told him to stop. The woman at the well, who at least from our vantage point seemed to separate herself from the men and the women of her city, she suddenly wanted to share her story and the good news. She abandoned her water pot at the well, and she rushed into the city, and she said to the men, "Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Many believed in Jesus because of the word of the woman who testified, and Samaritans rushed out to Jesus, urging him to stay with him, and Jesus stayed for 2 days. And many more believed because of Jesus' own words. And then they said to the woman, "Now we believe not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." We share our story. We talk about how Jesus knows us. He knows the parts that we share and the secret parts. Jesus wants to move us from our shame and from our ignorance. Sometimes we want to defend our understanding of right and wrong when it comes to worshiping God. Jesus tells us in our minds and in our hearts, that he is the Savior of the world. He's died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, and we can accept that free gift. That free gift of living water that springs up into everlasting life. It gives us the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ in us that enables us to worship the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in truth. Worshiping God in spirit and truth is not about where, not so much about how. It's worshiping in a way that accepts God as being over our lives and deserving of our love and devotion. Christ's Spirit in us empowers us to join with Jesus in this mission to take his vision of all people worshiping God in spirit and truth. We can take it to the entire world. Let us pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thank you for the gift of everlasting life. Help us to worship you in spirit and truth. Help us to share the message with the world. In Jesus' name, amen.